cliffcentral.com.
Yes, I know. You don't want to get out of bed on a Monday morning, right? Not in this cold, and you there's no motivation. Like, I don't care what people say to you. They are full of shit if they think anybody loves Monday mornings. I have never met a person, unless they're high on drugs, that loves Monday mornings, right? Horrible day. Horrible day. Horrible things to think about. The only thing that gets you through it is that you realize you got to start somewhere. And then once you're out of the shower or whatever, then your day gets better. But in that moment that you're waking up, you're like, oh, no. Right?
The optimists and the positive reaffirmation people, they say that if you jump out of bed and you tell yourself it's going to be a good day, that you can trick your mind into you feeling a little bit better about Monday.
Mm-hmm. Look, maybe they have a point.
Yeah, but then you got to live with yourself for being a liar the very first waking breath of your day.
Yeah, and Ben smacks down with cynicism.
TKO. Yeah. Sorry.
Because right. I try that and you're like, you don't, no.
No, look, I mean, I'm a positive guy, right? Doesn't take much to get me down. But I really have to push hard on a Monday morning because otherwise I'm going to go, I'll just have another 15 minutes of sleep. And then that'll lead to me oversleeping. And then I'll get here late and it'll be a disaster and blah, 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 blah. So you have to force yourself, right? It has to happen.
I was thawing out this morning in front of the heater. And I just thought, like, can time just not stop for 10 minutes? Is it too much to bloody ask?
Wouldn't that be great? I've always thought that time is the one resource that we can't make more of, right? Wouldn't it be great if you could just stop the game, save the game, pause, and just take a week to sort out things. All those loose ends, those things that I said to Mubs this morning, coming in on a Monday morning, I usually feel good about one thing. My inbox is clear and my email inbox. On a Sunday night, I will make sure every I is dotted and every T is crossed so that I can start the week clean. Like, I've replied to everybody I was meant to reply to. I've filled in the diary for the week. I know what to do. You know, I want to get shit done.
Well, around what time is that usually done for you?
6-7 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is start sending you emails at 8 o'clock to irritate you.
See, I hate you.
The, like, random questions need an answer. Mm. Everything must finish with a question mark.
Yeah. That is, I have to answer. I have to go through an item by item response on your email. Hey, Flax, how was the Durban July?
Oh. Was life-changing.
Really?
So, I got normal access tickets, just like general public, nothing special. So, I didn't really get to go into any of the cool tents or get to see any cool celebrities. But I just partied it up.
Did you meet some cool people, at least?
No, not really. Just a bunch of Durban people and bunch of Bolido people. Like, we had a party. We made a party out of it. I had free booze the whole night. I think I bought myself one drink. Because they all brought booze in and they were very, like, sharing and all that.
Yeah, right. Durban people. They're the nicest people in the country, yeah.
I did my first horse bet race, whatever you want
to
call
it. Did you win?
And I was up 40 grand. My horse was neck and neck with the winner. And then last second, I came second place. So I just got place, which was like nothing. I spend that on booze in like a day.
Damn, dude. You could have won 40 grand.
I was up 40 grand. Wow, I think it was like 23 to 1.
That'll make it exciting, right?
And the horse I bet on was supposed to lose the race. Everyone said that was the dude that was losing.
Ah, you back to loser and then...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let you down.
But yeah, what can you do?
You know what? You couldn't pay me money to go to the Durban July.
See, I don't understand why people get so dressed up for it.
I know.
Like, people put in so much effort.
And it was a beautiful day, right? It was hot and...
No, it was freezing and it was overcast.
Okay, well, then maybe it's worth dressing up. See, I would always go to these things and you dress up because you feel you have to. And then you get there and it's so hot and irritating. You just want to lose it. These chicks could wear these nice hot dresses and stuff.
I was not going to buy one new thing. Whatever I had in my cupboard, I was wearing that.
I remember the first Durban July that I went to, and all of us girls, our heels kept sinking into the grass.
Right.
And girls were trying to walk, and then they'd leave a shoe behind, or they'd trip and
Didn't
fall.
Didn't you have like an asthma attack
Yeah,
that
happened too.
I remember
that
you.
Happened
we had to take you to the medical tent or
yes,
something.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Great fun. Don't go anywhere with Mabali, by the way. she's terrible to take to anything. Get an asthma attack and shit.
Oh, I didn't plan it, I swear.
It was the first time I was in the same building as our president, so that was pretty cool. I got to see him from like a kilometer or two away.
Normally at the Durban July, someone pours their drink on him.
Really?
Well, no, that happened once. Apparently he's poor. I don't understand.
Well, apparently his whole family is poor.
Yeah, apparently everyone in the Zuma clan is poor.
Yeah, so
But I mean, Kulubusa drives an SLS, which he could barely get into.
How?
How could they be poor, right? How? I mean, that just... If you're poor and you have the kind of income that they have, you're really stupid and bad at managing money. So that's not an argument that makes me feel sorry for you. That makes me think these guys should not have any access to money at all. They don't know how to manage it.
Yeah, it was the president's brother and his son who have come out and said, sorry, we can't actually pay that $7.8 million that the National Treasury said he must pay back. Sorry, we're poor. That's
anybody believe it?
I mean, you know, we keep saying that you never know what's happening behind closed doors.
Well, I can believe the fact that they're trying to weasel it out of it. Wait, they're out of it. I don't believe the no money, though.
You heard what Justice said, right? He was in here the other day. Justice was in here on Friday. He said, Jacob Zuma gets paid more than Angela Merkel. Right?
Mm.
He earns more than most world leaders.
Does he not have like, good credit to the bank? Just say, look, I need 8 million.
I don't know. I mean, if he's earning over 2 million rand a year, has he not saved a cent? Are you telling me? And remember, he doesn't have to pay for anything now while he's president. So that's pure profit. He doesn't pay for anything. His water, electricity, his transport, his groceries, his clothing, all the things we have to pay for every week, he doesn't pay those. So how can you not have any expenses? You do have an income, and you're still poor. How is that possible? You have to be the worst manager of money in the history of the world. No wonder this guy is always out of pocket. No wonder he always has to live from hand to mouth. He doesn't know the fucking first thing about running an account. He doesn't know the difference between income and expenditure. Clearly, the money is just falling out of him. How is that possible? And we let him manage the whole country. If a guy can't manage his own finances, how can he manage the country? I got tears in my eyes. I don't understand this. And then people go, oh, shame. Or they want to help him. I'm like, no, don't help someone who's so useless at managing money. All they're going to do is keep pissing the money away. I think this is out of everything he's done, if it's true that he's poor, that is the worst admission of all. Not because I have a problem with poor people, but because if you're Jacob Zuma, and we know how much you earn, and we know that your expenses are zero, how can you run out of money? That means you are profligate. Means you don't know how to spend and save. Surely that's crazy, right? I mean, we're all like on tight budgets. Everyone in the country is on a tight budget. I don't care who you are. Unless you're a billionaire, you're on a tight budget. You've got electricity to worry about. I mean, Flax was talking the other day. He's going to go around his house and 6 to 7% of the light bulbs he's going to take out.
He's also taking bus cucks. He doesn't have to flush either.
And he goes to his mother's house to shit.
And petrol's going up on Wednesday.
Exactly.
Right. Now, so we're all living like this, but we have to manage our money. Now, if Michael Flax, how old are you again, 23?
23.
Right. Michael Flax at 23 can figure out that he has to save electricity so he can keep his bills the same. How can this guy, who is in charge of a country, you would think he'd be able to manage everything. I'll bet you Barack Obama is not impoverished. He's putting his money away because he doesn't need it at the moment. Because he knows he's going to need it when he's not president anymore. Right? You don't know what income you're going to have. Even if you have a job, you don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
You could get retrenched. The whole company could go up in flames. They could go bankrupt. You don't know what could happen. So you plan for a rainy day. Are you telling me that he lives in a 246 million rand estate in KZN, which is what it is? He gets flown around in his own plane, helicopters, a cavalcade of cars with blue lights. He doesn't pay for a single thing. Every suit he has worn has been out of our pocket. We've paid for those. And you're telling me that that guy can't manage 2 million rand income a year. And he's probably got other sources of income too. God knows. I mean, you know, when you're friends with the sheikhs and the Guptas, you've always got money pouring in. And maybe that's the problem. And nobody's going to talk about this. But maybe there are a bunch of people in this country who are willing to, for political favors, and we know that that's exactly what's happened, they're willing to bankroll this guy, who's clearly got no idea of income and expenditure. So they're like, look, he's a fucking problem, but we'll give him money. Because all he does is sign off the papers that we need him sign. So he's basically our stooge. So here we are. He's like our pet president. We'll keep patting him on the head and giving him food. And he'll keep doing what we need him to do. So that we can open up this business and buy this mine. And you know what? Just for good measure, we'll even employ his son. And we'll give him money too. Don't tell me the Zoomers are poor. I'm sorry. That is an insult to poor South Africans. Actual poor South Africans. South Africans who are living on the poverty line. South Africans who can't afford a fresh loaf of bread every week. And these Zuma family members are saying that they're poor. It's despicable. It's such an insult. It's a slap in the face. We should all be horrified that they even have the temerity to say something like this, where people who live around them in Gandla don't even have a roof on their heads. It's despicable, right?
Yeah. It's like I was saying on Friday, that he has no respect for money because he doesn't have to ever worry about it. So therefore, he'll always just claim this. He doesn't want to pay for anything.
And plus,
common people do.
And you know what? He's got people all around him who owe their jobs to him. He should be telling them, hey, listen, help me. Kick in here. I gave you a job you hopelessly unqualified for. Someone like Claudia Motsweneng, who earns more than the president. He should call Claudia up and say, listen, fuckhead, I need some cash. I gave you the job. You think Claudia's not going to pay? Of course he will. He owes his entire existence to the president. There's no way that guy could get ahead on his own.
But speaking of being poor and lots of money, have you seen how the Nkandla architect is now apparently being sued for 150 million?
Oi. Well, that's the end of him.
And he said he's just being let out to dry here.
Well, of course, someone has to take the blame. You think the president's going to take the blame?
Of course not.
No. I don't know. Dude, I mean, someone help me understand this.
There's nothing to understand. He is an absolute poisonous cretin of a human being. And all these ilk are, unfortunately. And the more that this presidency goes on, the more we see it.
Something's got to happen, right? Something's got to happen. I mean, Lubabalo says on Twitter, come on, this dude is not just... He's not poor, he's just bullshitting us. It's not true. Of course he's not poor. He's thumbing his nose at us. I love Monday. Monday's the best day of the week, says Iron Ninja Khan. Iron Ninja Khan. Teach me how. Booty says, message for Ben. Who came up with the SAFA team names? Under 12, the Tsetse Flies.
Oh, who knows?
The Flying Birds, under 15. The Amajimbos, the Amajita, Amaglug Glug. The men's team, Bafana Bafana. Who came up with these names?
I don't know.
And who wants to be called the Tsetse Flies?
But how can, like, the rest like of the world takes people seriously?
The Tsetse Flies? Really?
You know, the only thing I ever really agreed with when it came to Tom Mbeki saying things, when he said, how can we be taken seriously when we call our national team the boys?
The boys.
And now we want to have Tsetse Flies. Yeah, because those are great. Disease vectors. Yeah, let's get that as a name.
All right, what did you do this weekend, Ben?
Oh, Friday was amazing, Gareth. I went to the beautiful part of Irini. I played golf. What a cool place.
Yep.
Such an amazing club. It's like an old country club. It's so cool. There's like lawn tennis, there's bowls, there's a cricket oval, amazing golf course. That was my Friday. It was a great day trip. And then my friend drove back via an industrial area just for a bit of spice. So it was a really great day out.
Where was the industrial area?
I don't know.
Brontberg.
Back end of Tembisa. No, I was coming from Irini.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting day.
Mubs, yours? Anything exciting?
Well, my mom has been in town since last week, so she was staying with me over the weekend, which means I had to make extra sure that the men that I keep in my cave were knocked out. No, I drugged them
muzzled.
Because I couldn't take any risks. Like, I can't have them screaming from downstairs.
Yeah, your mother would say, what was that noise?
Yeah, yeah.
Then well, it leads well, to all kinds
those,
of
all those plastic apple gags arrived last Friday, so I'm pretty sure you got to use them.
Goodness, the sex toys had to be locked up. It was, you know, I literally had to just turn the place inside out and make it mum-proof.
You have to clean house when she comes.
Yeah, and then I was just showing her around town, you know.
Does your mum... Does she say to you, what's going on here in this house? Does she criticize things that she sees?
She doesn't.
That's nice.
But it's so much pressure to have your mom come into your home.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, typically women are homemakers.
Right.
And you always feel like there's pressure when your mom comes into your space because you wonder, oh my gosh, she's going to be judgmental. Is this going to be good enough for her? Is the standard going to be good enough?
But she doesn't.
No, she doesn't. She's cool.
Yeah, well, that's nice. That's good of her. Okay, and you took her around town.
We had lunch with one of my ex-boyfriends because I was actually telling Ben and them the other day when you were sick. My mom has kept in touch with a lot of my exes. Like they love her and she loves them back. They talk every now and again. It's fine.
You're okay with that?
I'm fine. We're all okay with that. So it's weird. The three of us were there on Saturday having lunch, me, my ex, and my mom.
Wow.
So it's just, I don't know. That's just the way it is.
That's pretty forward thinking.
I don't know. I mean, I was thinking, is it normal?
Yeah.
But all of us feel cool about it. Like, there's no awkward feelings about it. So I guess if we make it work, then it's fine.
But normal is so 90s, though, Mubs. What is normal anyway?
I don't know. Normal is what everybody subscribes to and what they decide that that's what the standard is.
Normal's like trusting your priest and, you know, playing golf with your doctor. That's like so... Who does that?
Don't forget, you can get hold of us on 0861-555-189 this morning. You can also send us a message on Twitter. You can get hold of us on WeChat. You know, the messages come up directly on the screen in front of me, so it's like we're having a conversation. And how's that any different from, you know, WhatsApp and the rest of it? What would we do without WhatsApp? Huh? Do you remember the days before when you'd SMS people? Felt like a pain in the backside, right?
Even worse, you had to own a BlackBerry to BBM.
Oh, wow. A BlackBerry.
Yeah.
I miss BlackBerries.
Why?
Do you know how cheap it was to run a BlackBerry?
Oh, yeah, that's
I think
true.
You'd pay like 50 rand a month and you'd get free internet, free messaging, free everything.
And that's why they no longer exist.
To run an iPhone, so expensive.
Yeah.
And you never know. You can never know how much data you're going through. Like, imagine we rarely knew how much searching photos on Facebook cost us in data.
You can check, though.
Can you?
Yeah, if you look at the different apps and how much how much data they all use, you can actually go and see it.
But, like, soon we'll be using no data because Wi-Fi is going to be available everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, if you go overseas, that's the case.
That's the plan, yeah.
You bump from a different Burger King to McDonald's to Starbucks Wi-Fis.
Yeah, correct. That's why people go to those places. By the way... Starbucks, for example, when they started giving free Wi-Fi all over America in their shops, their sales went through the roof. So it's a great way to get people into your restaurant or establishment or, you know, business. Give them free Wi-Fi, they'll come.
You know what I heard the other day, and I can't confirm this, only people in Cape Town can. There was apparently the other day a pop-up In-N-Out burger shop in Cape Town just for the day, a couple hours.
Yeah.
Just like a surprise pop-up. So it sort of dropped hints, if it's true, that In-N-Out could be coming to South Africa.
Oh, In-N-Out Burger, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I want Shake Shack to come here. That's and Five Guys Burgers. Yo. I'll tell you something. I occasionally will have a hamburger, and mostly I'm disappointed. Five Guys in New York and Washington, D.C. make the best hamburgers and fries you could possibly imagine. And then there's Shake Shack, which is just as amazing. Oh, my God. I get excited just thinking about it. If they opened up here, I'd be fat like a tick. I'd be eating there every week. I promise you. You wouldn't fit me through the door.
But I have to roll you in.
Yeah. So I was in Cape Town over the weekend. which was cool.
Of course, you were disc jockeying.
I was disc jockeying on Saturday night, which I haven't done for a while.
Disc jockeying.
Yeah, well, you know. And I was fun. It was just, it was cool. Cape Town's still a party.
Was it cold?
It was chilly. Friday was really cold. And there was, it was wet as well. But then Saturday was a beautiful day. At night, it's just, you know, the thing about Cape Town winters, and I don't want to talk too much about the weather because it's kind of boring.
But besides DJing on Saturday night, did you go climb Table Mountain on Saturday or any of that?
No, Flex. I don't do, I'm not looking for Instagram.
He's not a tourist.
Yeah, and I'm not doing Instagram stuff. I could give a shit how many likes I get on a picture.
Did you go on another pirate boat?
No. It was, it wasn't a pirate boat. We were on a different boat. The pirate boat was this other one.
Okay.
Pirate boat.
Shut up, Pashida. How dare you? Pirate boat. Oh, man. I wonder if other people are going to avoid the president now that he says he's poor. You know, if people are going to stay away from him because he can keep hitting them up for cash. Hi, how are you? Oh, Mr. President. I was wondering if you have some few spare change lying around. No, I'm sorry. I've got to go. Very nice to bump into you. Oh, but I was busy saying... No, I got to run. Sorry. I'm out of here.
But do you really think he cares about the deadline either?
Well, he's got to pay. Otherwise he...
Otherwise what?
Well, yeah, actually, because there are no consequences in this country, right?
Not for him.
No. The rest of us will go to jail. If we do anything wrong, we're in big trouble, not him.
And then he'll say something like, it's embarrassing to think that the president can't pay this fine, so maybe we should just leave the fine.
He should just go straight to jail. I mean, I don't even know why we're trying. Just straight to jail, please. I mean, do we really... Are we going to miss him if he's not in charge? No. In fact, without him being in charge, the country would probably run better. Anyway, of course it will. Everybody, I think everybody knows that. All right, besides that crap, let's move on. There's lots of other interesting stuff to talk about this week, and we're going to get into all of it. We'll start with some sport with Ben. We'll serve that up with a nice side of Anthea Gardner and the money, and then we'll get into the main course of Mabale's news a little bit later on. All of that and more coming right up.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours.
All right, Ben, what do you have for us?
32 days until the Olympics. It's almost a calendar month now. That's how close we are to the Games in Rio. Unfortunately, Usain Bolt might not even be there. He pulled a hamstring in the Jamaican qualifiers of the weekend.
Oh, I thought he was dropping out because of Zika virus too.
No, he's pretty hardy. So he's kind of hoping for a medical exemption in that he couldn't qualify for the Jamaican team, because that's what's happening right now, is that they have all these trials around the country.
Right.
And he couldn't do it. He had to pull out of the 100, which is what he's defending his title in. Of course, he's the defending 100 and 200 Olympic champion in the sprints. So that doesn't look good, because he's had injury issues in the last 2 years, so much so that he hasn't been able to kind of run consistently. He did win the world champs last year, but to think that he might miss this one would be so, so frustrating, because this essentially is his swan song. This is his final run, his final go
at gold. Is it really?
Well, yeah, he's getting on. He's 29 or something. He can't keep carrying on as a sprinter.
They're tough, huh? 29 is too old.
Well, it's a high-octane sport. You know, it's very explosive. There's a lot that goes through your body. You'll find, like, marathon runners, they can go on a little bit later in life because it's more mental, whereas, let's be honest, they're the sports cars of the Olympics, these guys. They have to be mean, lean, fast, and fearless. So right. When you get into your 30s, those are things you can't generally do. Another pull-out potential news, Novak Djokovic, he's maybe thinking about the Olympics not being such a good idea. It's only the super rich. If you are poor and you want to pull out of the Olympics, everyone laughs at you. Whereas if you're rich, like golfers, right? Yeah. Or like Djokovic, then they'll go, oh, look, Zika's a big problem. Rich guys don't want to go. So Djokovic, he is super, super rich. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of million dollars here. And he's thinking, maybe I shouldn't go. Anyway, more than that story as it happens. The Euros were the big thing over the weekend. Really, really amazing. Just to recap, Thursday's game was won on penalties by Portugal, 5-3 over Poland. They were 1-1 in regulation play. Wales absolutely hammered Belgium 3-1. What an incredible match. Go on, Wales. Bale didn't even need to score. He was there, but he wasn't there. And that Welsh team just came together and killed the hugely, annually overrated Belgium 3-1. So they're out. Saturday's game was the big game for the round, and it went all the way to penalties. 1-1 regulation play, Germany and Italy. It's been 54 years since Germany had beaten Italy in a cup competition. And the penalties, well, it was like watching a PSL match. They were not hitting the target, they were cocking around, there was stupid stuttering steps, there were saves, there was misses. 7 misses in all.
Yep.
So came down to the 18th penalty kick. Jeez. And this oak grubbed a little left footer, which unfortunately Buffon jumped over. And Germany are through. Germany are through to the semi-finals.
Squeaking in.
Squeaking in, indeed. It's such a good effort from Italy when you consider the experience in that team, and they're still to the best team in the world all the way to the bitter, bitter end. And then last night, well, Iceland, they came, they saw, they got completely hammered. Although they did win the second half. They did win the second half 2-1. But 5-2, the final score there. France were just incredible in that first half. I don't know if it was nerves or just, you know, fatigue or whatever it was. But France have ended the fairy tale run of Iceland. And everyone kind of knew it was going to come to an end here.
But that was sort of the story of Euro this year.
Yeah, completely. Now the story is basically Wales. You know, how far can they go? They've now got Portugal. They'll take place on Wednesday at 9 o'clock SA time. And you've got to think that Wales definitely have the firepower here. Portugal, well, you got to hand it to them. They're through to the semis, good on them, but they haven't been convincing at any stage. They haven't won a game yet, when you think about it, because when you're in penalties, it's penalties. They haven't actually won a regulation 90-minute match yet. So that'll be Wednesday's match. Then Thursday, Germany versus France. That's always going to be the tougher side of the draw, and France are looking incredible right now, and Germany are Germany. So, wow, great semi-final matchups there. In other football news, it looks like Glenn Hoddle might be the next in line for England's coach, right? Now, England have a manager, which basically is a guy who takes huge amounts of money for doing bugger all year, and then they get to tournaments, and then basically they just hang their head. And I could do that. I've hung my head a few times in life. I reckon I could do it for lots of pounds. But Glenn Hoddle could be the guy to shake things up because he's no nonsense. But he did, of course, manage this team before, back in 99. And any idea why he stopped managing this team?
I don't remember.
Gareth, it's because he took a jibe at disabled people.
What?
Back in 99, Glenn Hoddle said disabled people are disabled because they're being punished for previous wrongs in previous lives. Now, how on earth this comes up when you're a manager of a football team that you end up saying this?
He said that?
Yeah. And of course, back then...
Wow.
Back then, you know, the Paralympics and disabled athletes were getting a lot of attention, rightly so, for being incredible athletes. And there's Glenn going... Yeah, well, you were all bastards in your previous life. That's why you've got gonk legs and stuff.
Well, some people like Oscar Pistorius just haven't learned their lesson,
well,
have they?
According to Glenn Hoddle, no, he's doing a double whammy. So Glenn, who was a reborn Christian, of course, had to say such things to basically work out that, you know, he's so high and mighty. But that was 1999. Could all be forgiven? Could he get back into this team?
They'll take whoever they can get right now.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
Who insult the disabled, everybody.
Even ones who insult the disabled.
Yeah, go for it.
Super Rugby, good weekend of rugby there was. Some nice high-scoring matches. Teams very much not rusty after the international break. A game played in Fiji was Chiefs versus Crusaders, which is kind of cool, seeing as New Zealand plundered the South Sea Islands for all their talent, breaking up families and providing false dreams so that they can have human battering rams. They went to Fiji and they played a match there. Absolute sellout, huge, huge match. Chiefs winning that one 23-13 over the Crusaders. The Brumbies then thrashed the Reds 43-24. Saturday's matches saw another thrashing. Waratahs 57-12 away to the Sunwolves. The Hurricanes versus the Blues. What a great match that was. The Blues finally sort of got into some sort of rhythm, but the Hurricanes came back late and won that one 37-27. On to the South African matches. The Stormers, well, they were in Melbourne playing the Rebels. And 31-all halfway through the second half. You got to think the Stormers were just wasting opportunity time and time again, and they really were. The ref was also doing weird things, but eventually the Stormers kicked in 57-31 winners. Massive result there. Really, really good tries as well. Very entertaining match. One of the most entertaining Stormers matches for as long as I've been a long-suffering Stormers fan. The Cheetahs, they beat the Force. 30-29. A little squeaker there. The Lions, well, the Lions are just brilliant, aren't they? 27-0 up at halftime. 37-10 over the Sharks at full-time. And the Kings. The Kings were competitive for a first half. In the second half, they basically showed why they're semi-pro. 48-18, a weakened Highlanders side gave them a good clap. And then the Jaguares, they beat the weakened Bulls side, 29-11. So we've got two rounds to go, right? Where does that look on the groups? So, South African Conference, right? The Lions, the incredible, amazing Lions, 47 points. The Stormers are closer to them, 6 points back and 41. So they're in the qualifying positions. The Australasians, the Chiefs are top of that one, 46 points. Wow, that is incredible. The Brumbies are next on the Australasian log on 39 points. And then we've got the Crusaders, third on 45 points. Highlanders and Hurricanes make up the sort of top four and five there. So it's looking like, well, we all know the qualifying teams are going to be four from New Zealand. You've got the Chiefs, the Crusaders, the Hurricanes, the Highlanders. The Brumbies are in the mix there. And then we've got the Lions and the Stormers. The Sharks are still kind of in there. They've still got a chance, but after their match in the weekend, you got to think they're buggered. They're just losing too many players. They've got Paul Lejeune limping out. They've got JP Peterson having to play centre. It's not such a good thing for them, is it?
No.
In cricket news, you know the DRS system, the much maligned and controversial DRS system.
What is that again?
So basically, if you don't think the umpire's got the call right, you think he's a doddery, blind old git, you can basically review it. So if the guy's been hit on the pads and then you appeal and the umpire goes, no, you go, cool, I'll go to the DRS. The DRS then has a position where there's cameras all around the stadium to see the trajectory and the path of the ball. So if it is deemed that the umpire is wrong, the DRS can then overturn the decision. So up until now, there's been a thing called the umpire's call. So the umpire's call basically gives the batsman the benefit of the doubt, which means that the ball has to hit the inside of the stumps, or more than 50% of the ball must be in contact with the stump. Now what they're saying is, bollocks, if you hit the outside of the stump, that's also out now. So they're basically just giving the batsman more chances to get dismissed.
Okay.
Which I don't think is a really bad thing, because sometimes, you know, there's that moment where it hits the pad, okay, and then the perceived line to the stumps. It's a bit of a grey area, and sometimes, who knows? Like, there's a little guesswork involved.
Yeah, because it could go left, could go right, you know, it could be slower, faster.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a situation of millimeters here, but still, it's millimeters that sometimes don't go in the right way, and there's been some real howlers of late with this DRS. So as of 1st of October, the outside of the stump will also be seen as umpire's call, and you'll be gone. In big cricket action coming up now, England have finally finished that stupid, lifeless, boring series against Sri Lanka, and now they've got Pakistan with ex-cheats and colourful characters and Mickey Arthur as their coach. They are in England, and that's going to be...
Ex-cheats, huh?
Yeah, people who've been banned and are reinstated. People who are just on the take have been reinstated. Yeah, so that's going to take place now. But South Africa has confirmed tours to England and New Zealand. Now, there's the Champions Trophy next year, right? So what South Africa are going to do is they're going to go to England in May. They're going to play a couple of ODI matches.
Yep.
And then, after that, they're going to play Tests, T20s, ODIs, the full deal. July, August. That's August, July next year. So there's summer next year. Prior to that, in February, the Proteas are going to New Zealand, where they'll play three Tests, they'll play some ODIs, they'll play one T20, and they'll have mostly boring nights out in bars full of really unattractive girls. In tennis. Wow, what a weekend of tennis, huh? Djokovic out of Wimbledon. Sam Querrey.
Who's Sam Querrey again?
He just hammered him in four sets. He's the guy who beat Djokovic. 7-6, 6-1, 3-6, 7-6. Djokovic has had a couple of close calls in the last few years. You know, like last year, he went through to five sets against Kevin Anderson.
Yeah.
And you just thought, like, you know, this is what he does. He has an odd, bad game. But the thing is, Querrey really stuck it to him and didn't get off either. So whereas other players are in awe of Djokovic, Querrey was like, well, screw it. I'm just going to keep swinging and see what happens. So he's gone. He's out. No other real big seeds have fallen out of the men's draw. Jean-Wilfried Tsonga yesterday had a 19-17 fifth set thriller against Isner. Now Isner, 4 or 5 years ago, played against that Mahut guy, and that world record never ending match.
Yeah,
it was like a comedy; it's never ended. So Isner is a bit of a long game enthusiast, which is quite interesting because he's built like a giraffe. So you think he can't really, you know, the points would be short and the games would be quite over. He absolutely towers over Tsonga. Isner is like 6'8", 6'9". He's massive. Anyway, he's gone. So that's out. Tsonga's through. So is Berdych, Murray, Kyrgios, Tomic, Nishikori, and Federer. They're all through. In the women's draw, Serena absolutely pulverized some doe-eyed little girl for her 300th Grand Slam victory.
Mums, did you watch any over the weekend? Well, you usually you're on top of the tennis.
Yeah, but I mean, I was busy being, you know, showing my mom around and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard work, this mom of yours. You have to look after her the whole time.
I just have to hang out with her. That's all it is.
So also through from the women's draw is Sister Venus Williams. Safarova is also through. So is Kerber, Halep, and Kuznetsova. Eugenie Bouchard, though, she is like the token attractive girl left in tennis on the mainstream platform. She's gone. And then center court today, Federer versus Steve Johnson. Serena Williams will take on Kuznetsova. And Kyrgios versus Murray in the battle of the douchebags, really. Kyrgios, who's already been fined $6,500.
We love this guy, right?
He's such a dick. He's now got inner turmoils with his camp. He called someone a retard. And then he was questioning why they're not supporting him enough, because he wants more support from his entourage. And then during the match, he was like, this is a big point. Why can't you guys cheer me on? I want love. Love me, daddy. What a dick. And Andy Murray is like, you know, you can't judge him too harsh. He's only 21. He'll learn to deal with the media and things better. Whatever, Andy. I mean, if you're going to pick friends, don't pick the biggest dickhead on tour, which basically just says a lot for you. Anyway, center court, those two will be
Kyrgios.
Will be groaning out it. Maybe Kokkinakis will be in the crowd to cheer, yes, Kyrgios on. He's not getting enough love from his actual team. In golf, wow, Dustin Johnson. He just won the US Open. Now he's won the Bridgestone WGC. This is incredible because next 2 weeks' time is the Open at Royal Troon. Whoa. So this guy's form right now is just absolutely incredible. He's got such a complete game. And now that he's won these big tournaments, he's got obviously a lot of confidence and a lot of belief to go through. Tong Chai Jai-di, he won his 8th European title. The biggest one, though, this weekend was the French Open. And he cruised it. Hey? Absolutely cruised it. There was double points on offer for all European players for the Ryder Cup. And so a very strong European field. But Tong Chai, yeah, he did it. Absolutely did it. If you think about this guy, okay, so he's from Thailand. The fact that he can go to Europe, and he's become an absolute international success story, this dude.
Right.
He's in the top 30 in the world. But in the beginning, when he got into it, you know, he was going from Thailand, where obviously it's hot. He said he hated playing in Europe because it was always cold, the beds were shit, the food was terrible. He didn't understand what anyone said. But he just kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and now he's an absolute mainstay of this European tour. And as I say, he's a world golfer. He really is. Top 30 in the world. It's a big deal. So Tong Chai Jai-di, good guy to watch as well. So the majors, yeah, that's the Open will take place 14th of July. So we're really, really close there. It'll take place at Royal Troon, who officially now will take ladies. They had a vote, and obviously pressured by the RNA and the fact that everyone laughed at Muirfield, they all decided to do the right thing and let women come and play and be members at their golf course. What a lovely story. Finally, we haven't got much time for Tour de France. Mark Cavendish, he won the first stage. So MTN Quebec, the South African funded team there, they won their first stage of the year. Really big moment there. But the big talking point from the weekend to wrap up here, the Formula One, how Lewis Hamilton was booed off the podium because
why?
Him and Nico Rosberg had a bit of a fight in the last lap. Hamilton said he had the right to overtake him. Rosberg was holding his line. They had a bit of a collision. Rosberg went from being first to then finishing fourth because his front wing wasn't under his wheels, and just a huge kerfuffle.
Okay.
But you got to expect. I mean, Hamilton hangs out with Bieber, but these two pricks are cutting off people in traffic for fun. So Hamilton, he was the winner, very unpopular winner, but that he doesn't care.
People booed him?
Yeah. He was booed off the podium.
Yeah.
Young Verstappen was second, Raikkonen was third, but now the gap between Rosberg and Hamilton is only 11 points now after Hamilton won his first ever Austrian Grand Prix. A lot more sport today, 10 to 11 SA time, right here on Cliff Central with The Bounce Show.
Yeah, and don't forget, before that, from 9 to 10 is the Voilà Euro football show, where they'll be looking back at the last couple of matches in the Euro.
Yeah, Mondays is a great day of sport right here.
That's right. You don't want to miss out on any of that. It's coming right up. Okay, it's time for Anthea Gardner to give us the latest in the money shot. It is Monday, and it's time for us to find out what's happening with our money, if anything. This, by the way, is also your opportunity for calisthenics. We got a different version for you this morning. Almost a bit disco, but it's the same old song, right? Are we going to wait for her to start singing? All right, let's see. Ah, you see, it's not the version you think it is. Definitely one of those club mixes from the 1980s. All right, so how are you, Anthea?
I'm fine, thanks. And I feel like I should have leg warmers on and jumping up and down and waving my arms.
That's right. That's the one. Good. So let's talk about Friday, first of all. Markets are kind of flat, right? Nothing really happened.
Nothing hugely exciting. We did manage to end in the green. Volume's really low, $1.4 billion traded. And that's kind of the fourth consecutive day of positive returns, right? So quite a thing after
Brexit. We're happy
with
that, sure.
Certainly, yeah. So for the week, the Aussie was up about 1.5%. But this rand, it's incredible how strong it is. It's really amazing. So now, year to date, the rand is 6% stronger against the dollar, 18% stronger against the British pound, and just 3.2% against the euro. So really strong rand. I kind of looked at this and realized that even despite the stronger rand, we're still getting a petrol price increase on Wednesday between 11 and 8 cents, I think.
How can they justify that?
Well, because oil's up 35% year to date. That's what it is.
Right.
I actually had a look at the table of how the petrol price has moved since the beginning of the year, and I just looked at unleaded 95, and at the beginning of the year, it was R12.37 a litre, and now it's R13.26. And I think this is inland, not by the coast, by the way. So it's slightly more.
Yeah, because we have two different rates, which I still don't understand.
Well, it's transport.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense.
Negligible, you think?
Well, I just think if you're going to transport something, you should put that into your costs. You shouldn't hand that on to the consumer.
Oh, so you think that they should take a margin squeeze for putting petrol in?
Yes.
Well, if I was a petrol producer, then I wouldn't transport petrol inland. I'd only sell on the
only
coast.
Only sell
though.
On the coast, right.
I want higher margins.
Much smarter.
Talk about this, though. Did you see the Strategic Fuel Fund? The CEO and the chairman quit on Friday.
Well, correctly so. Remember, they sold off a whole lot of our fuel for...
At $28 a barrel, right? And now, now it's... $50 a barrel. What am I saying? 80. Yeah. So this is quite a big thing. But one of the reasons they resigned apparently was because they put in a bid to buy 75% of Chevron. Chevron owns Caltex and the refinery in Cape Town. And I'm not sure if the total value of this bid is 15 billion rand or if 75% of the Chevron is 15 billion. But either way, that's a lot of money for somebody to bid for or to say they want to buy. When apparently it wasn't approved by the the Minister of Energy.
Minerals and Energy.
Yeah, Tina Drumat-Peterson, that's it, right? And anyway, so, yeah. And I think there's more to it than just putting in a bid. I mean, like, do these people not talk to each other? What's going on here? Anyway, so now what? I guess
I don't think the left hand knows what the right hand is doing.
It feels like that, eh? So I think... Potentially, this is interesting because Sasol could buy it. It's the only person I can think of that could potentially buy the stake in Chevron. It does mean they'd have to raise 15 billion rand, though. And Sasol have spent quite a lot of money on their fracking project in Louisiana, which hasn't worked and has always been delayed. And so actually their balance sheet is already stretched. I suspect not a bad thing. If I was Sasol, I tell you what, I would certainly want the Caltex footprint because there are lots of Caltex petrol stations or forecourts, as they call them, still around. So it's definitely, it'll be worth seeing what comes out of it.
Okay.
And then a couple of economics things. We had the biggest trade surplus since 1996 printed last
That's
week.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. 18.7 billion rand. The month before, it was a deficit of 0.1 billion rand. The thing with this trade surplus, though, this current account balance, is that it is very volatile. So take from it what you like. And I mostly it was on the back of increased exports and precious metals and a decrease in imports of machinery and oil, which is interesting. And I thought we would have imported more oil considering we'd sold off so much of it, but apparently not in May. So we'll see. I mean, we'll take it. I think it's also probably the reason for the stronger rand.
Oh, really?
Because if we're exporting more and importing less, then people have to turn their dollars into rands to pay us in rands.
Right.
So that could well be it. And then we also had the private sector credit extension number.
What does that mean?
So this is about this is about like private companies and how much money they are borrowing, and that decreased to 6.6% year on year from May's number of 7.1%. And very generically, what it means is that companies are not taking out more loans, and it's a broad number, I'll tell you that. But at least it's an indication that the Reserve Bank don't have to raise interest rates when they meet on the 21st of July.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's kind of a nice thing. Those are two good economic news stories, yeah, for a change. And then just kind of while we're talking economics, I saw this morning George Osborne hit the headline in the FT because he's come out saying that he will cut corporate tax rate to below 15% in the UK. And I sent you an email this morning with...
Yeah, I got it.
Have you got it? Okay. Oh. Because it was too big a table to print out.
Let me explain what this is. So Anthea sent me a list of all the countries in the world, their corporate tax levels, their individual tax levels, and their VAT or general sales tax levels.
Because I wanted to look at the corporate tax rates around the world. Like, obviously, we know South Africa is 28%. So the UK was or is 20, and George Osborne is saying he wants to cut it to 15, and then France is 33. So those are the only two I know, so I had to look it up.
Here are a couple of interesting ones. Highest corporate tax in the world is Cameroon.
Wow. By what is it?
38.5%.
Sure, that's almost half your...
Japan is 38.01%, Argentina 35%, Benin, Burundi, Gabon, Zambia, Angola all 35%. So they really punish businesses.
So we need to stay away from those countries.
Uh-huh. United States 35%.
That's high, huh?
That's very high. Yeah. Belgium 33.9%, Brazil 34%, Jamaica 33%. And then you go down the list and you bump into South Africa after Germany, after New Zealand, after Australia. We're in there at 28%.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting about George Osborne coming out and saying he wants to cut his corporate tax rate is that he's obviously trying to get companies to stay in the UK after Brexit.
Right.
That's basically it. And it makes sense. If you had a global company, do you want to pay 30% in Germany or 15% in the UK?
Hell no. Do you know what the corporate tax rate in Luxembourg is?
Very low, I'm guessing.
1%.
Oh, nice. That's where we need to be.
Uh-huh.
What is it, in Ireland? Can you tell?
No, Luxembourg is in the middle of Europe. It's just south of Belgium.
No, I'm
squeezed between.
Asking what the tax rate in Ireland.
Oh, Ireland.
Because that...
Sorry, I thought you said, is it an island?
In Ireland.
12.5.
Okay, so that's why these big banks are now talking about moving their headquarters to Ireland, out of London and to Dublin.
Right. Yeah, if you look at all those islands, like Guernsey and Gibraltar and all the rest of them, 10%.
Yeah.
Gibraltar's not an island, but you get my message. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are British sort of dependencies.
Sure.
That seems like a good tax rate. Uzbekistan, only 8%. Bargain basement. Let's move to let's go to Uzbekistan. That sounds like a good place to go. Mubs, don't you think we could relocate very easily? You'd love the weather in Uzbekistan.
Very easily? I'm not sure about that.
Just easily, then.
By the way, while we're talking about tax, do you know what the maximum individual tax rate is in Belgium?
No, tell me.
64%.
What? That's ridiculous.
Belgium's the highest...
Two-thirds of your salary.
Correct. It's just taken by the government.
What do you get for that, though? Like, quite a lot?
No.
Well, I suspect you might get free schooling, free hospital care. Surely you must for that amount of money.
If it covers
money.
It covers anything for your kids, you know it's a win.
You reckon?
They're already 64% of your life.
All right, there we go.
I love the way Ben just brought that number. Kids are 64% of your life.
Okay. And by the way, the country with the highest VAT rate is Hungary. They've got VAT at 27%.
Wow.
Huh? Who would know? Yeah. I don't know. And Sweden, 25%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Value-added tax and general sales tax are very high there. All right, but there we go. Some useful info.
Yeah, talk about tax, actually. Nike reported results last week. Not great. The share was down initially 7%, but then it did bounce back. And one of the issues here was the tax rate, actually. So they had a big tax bill to pay, right?
Yeah.
So revenue was a miss. They... for the quarter made $846 million versus the quarter before or the quarter like same quarter last year, of $865 million. And that really shocked the market, actually. But then if you looked at it closer, you could see that actually it was because of the stronger dollar. So it's not because of the strategy, but it's because of the stronger dollar, this tax. And on a look-through basis, I think the business is still very much on track to deliver sustainable earnings. Then after they released the results, management had a call with the analysts, and they obviously convinced the analysts because the share bounced right back up again. So it just shows, you know, this whole kind of talking to the market really is a marketing PR exercise. So I'm still very happy with this hold, because a couple of weeks ago we said we'd buy Nike, and because of kind of their strategy for direct marketing and the fact that they've got this sustainable earnings growth of 15% per annum. Yeah, I'm going to hold on to this for a bit longer, and there's no doubt they've got it right. And especially in the consumer business, what you want is to be able to pick up the trends very quickly. And if you're doing it the way they are on the internet or online shopping, then it's easier to manage, or it's easier to make sure that you get the right trends, basically.
Okay.
Which are, yeah.
Now, we met two people who had very different approaches to whether Brexit was good or bad on Thursday at the US mm-hmm. ambassador's July 4th celebration. And one of them said that they think it's a terrible thing what's happened in Britain, and this is very bad for the world economy and for us. And the other one said, no, it's great.
Right.
So even among people who really know this stuff, there's massive disagreement.
Absolutely. It's the uncertainty, right? Nobody knows. Like, you don't know what it's going to cost you. I'll tell you what it is. The politicians and kind of the global leaders are definitely worried about it, because George Osborne wouldn't lower his corporate tax rate by 5%, by basically a quarter.
Yeah.
Because that's how he makes money for his, like, for spending, for growing the economy, through his taxes, if he didn't think it was a bad thing. Right? And central banks are all talking about keeping interest rates lower for longer, or even cutting interest rates. And the reason they're doing that is because they think Brexit is a bad thing. So right. Economically, no doubt people are worried about it.
But also, these are the politicians who are trying to protect their own jobs as well. And they're trying to protect this massive bureaucracy that they've built around them.
Yeah.
Which is also what people are voting against.
And they need to do what's right for their country, though, for the economy.
Yeah, but they also need to listen to their people, yeah. Which is reason number one to get into office.
Sure.
Right. One or two other things then. Peter McLaren, who we also saw on Thursday last week, is the deputy CEO of Barclays from next month.
Yeah, and he was insisting that he was retiring, remember?
Yeah.
That was a bit naughty of him. He was trying to protect his announcement. So that's right. So he announced, or Barclays announced on Friday, that he's now the deputy CEO. This is an interesting one. The share was down about almost 3% on Friday when the other banks were down about 1%. I think people are worried about it. They're not sure what exactly is going on. What does it even mean to be deputy CEO? There is another deputy CEO whose name I forget. Hodnett or something. David or George or something.
Yeah, anyway. Of what?
So,
of Barclays?
Yes.
So there are two deputy CEOs.
Exactly. So now there's a CEO, Maria Ramos, mm-hmm. and there's two deputies. And you have to wonder what the strategy is. Is Maria leaving? Is she staying? Does she need the support? Peter apparently is going to look after Africa, and the other deputy CEO is going to look after South Africa.
Okay.
And so what's Maria looking after?
Yeah, what does she do every day?
Exactly. Shouldn't they just be called EOs then?
What's an EO?
Well, then there's no chief about them, because there's many of them.
Exactly. They're all
EOs.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good point. Ben goes back to basics and language. That's why I like it.
That. I quite like the purist idea, you know, like if you're in the bank, you become the CEO, you become head of a department because you've worked your way through the bank and you understand. And Peter McLaren is now gone from SABC to Tiger Brands.
Well, there's
to
Vodacom
Barclays.
In between.
Oh, Vodacom before that, right?
Yeah.
Or in between, yeah. So kind of he's had a bit of a jump around sectors. And the question is, does he know enough about banking? But then they asked the same question of Sizwe Ngcsana, who came from Telkom and then went to head up FirstRand. Mm-hmm. And he did a fantastic job at FirstRand.
Right.
So we'll have to wait and see, I think. It's really more the questions around where is Maria and what is she doing?
Where is Maria and what is she doing? That's what Arnold said about his wife. All right, well, good luck to Maria Ramos and to Peter McLaren on this move. Very exciting stuff. And Anthea, anything you're expecting today?
So the US is closed today, but Asia is positive already this morning, which is fantastic. So hopefully, yeah, a nice positive day again. But before we go, remember we said we're going to look at sectors every week mm-hmm. and see how the companies have performed. So right. This week I want to look at retail sector.
All right.
Okay. So first of all, Edcon, you know Edcon, now delisted. It delisted in 2007, but it listed in 1946 before we even had the Rand. Isn't that amazing?
Sure.
Yeah, so quite something. They had a turnover at that time of £536,000. I mean, now it's just hundreds of, because we had pounds before rands. It's just hundreds of millions of rands now, right? Difficult to say how the shares performed because they had a 10-for-1 split. They changed their currency. They delisted. So we won't even bother looking at that. But let's look at some of the other stocks. Woolworths. Woolworths listed in 1998, as did Truworths, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Woolworths is up 901%.
Wow.
Truworths up 1,000%.
Wow.
Yeah, not bad, eh?
And people say retail's dodgy. I mean, it's not always, you don't have guaranteed returns in retail, and it can be very, very good or very, very bad. Yeah. So it's fairly volatile.
Retail's difficult, you're right. Retail, you have to get it right. And especially the ones we've just mentioned, because they have clothing lines, right? And also you have to decide whether you're going to be a cash or whether you're going to take on credit and whether you're going to allow for non-performing loans. And yeah, it's not easy. But the biggest one of them all, Mr. Price.
Mm-hmm.
Since 1994, 5,680% up the share price.
Fantastic.
How amazing is that?
So for every rand, you would have ended up with
5,680 rand.
That's unbelievable.
That's amazing. Yeah. So there you go. There have been a couple of disappointments. Pick and Pay was only up 442%. Which is still okay.
Is that disappointing?
No.
It's still pretty good.
That was my point.
Okay. Yeah. Edcon now, though, is a bit of a disaster.
Yeah, they're struggling. They really are struggling. They've got, mostly it's a debt issue for them. So now that
they're delisted, so what does that mean? That the company's privately held?
Yeah. In fact, it's mostly held by a private equity company.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Huh.
And so you can't buy shares in it. You can still buy their debt, so their bonds you can still buy, but that's an issue because the question is whether or not they have enough money to repay their bondholders, and they don't, unfortunately.
Jonathan wants to know quickly before you go, is there a way to leverage the better US dollar exchange rate if traveling to Europe instead of buying euros outright?
Well, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I can't think, what else would you do? No, I don't know.
No
idea.
I'd
have to think about it. He wants to leverage the
US dollar.
Because,
you know, the exchange rate's better.
Yeah.
If traveling to Europe, instead of just buying euros outright, is there a way you could leverage the better dollar?
Not really. So basically he's asking if there's an arbitrage. That's what he's asking. Yeah. And I can't see how there's an arbitrage. In fact, quite the other way around, because if you are buying currency, you're always paying the bank or the forex dealer a commission or percentage. So, no, rather buy direct.
There's no escape.
No, I'm sorry.
All right. Okay, well, thank you, Anthea.
Pleasure. Thanks,
all
guys.
Good. There's lots to think about and plenty to chew on. Anthea Gardner will be back tomorrow morning with everything you need to know in The Money Shot. All righty, Ben, we're going to get into some news. I can tell you're excited. Mubs, you're revving up for the news. Pashida's here. Flax is here. We're here to look after you.
Just to make a quick correction on that Tour de France, it's the Die Data team, not MTN Quebec.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I panicked and, yeah.
What a potato, potato. It's cycling.
True, but for a cycling fan like Jonathan Wood, they're very angry when you get the cycling wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he corrected me. Message me now.
All right. Well,
Dimension Data's team went on Saturday.
Who knew anyone even cared about cycling? But there it is. All right, everybody. We've got the news coming up in a moment. It's the Lumineers. CliffCentral.com.